Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, and with me today is one of our longtime members. In fact, he's known for a couple things that most people never get known for. For example, I'm known for what we call Delisms. Delisms are statements that are made that are so obvious that they're true that they hurt. Right. Well, John's got his own Johnisms, and he's recorded these now. He's been here since 2014, so I guess that's about 12 years if I'm adding that up right. And if you actually can believe this, he's done over 60 different real estate transactions, 60 different apartment real estate transactions, I might add, which is quite phenomenal. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dale. Glad to be here this morning.
All right. Well, what we want to do is let's start with talking about, for people who have not seen you before, because, you know, we're on radio, people don't know you yet, some people. Explain how you got involved with Lifestyles. What were you doing before you ran into Lifestyles, and what made you decide you wanted to look into real estate investing and Lifestyles?
Dale, I was a 30-year or so petroleum engineer out of Texas A&M, and I had a younger brother that was a member in Houston years ago. And he's the one that actually introduced me to Lifestyles. That was a great advantage to me because unlike a lot of people that stumble across Lifestyles, I knew it wasn't a scam because I knew if my little brother could do it, I could as well. So that's how I came to Lifestyles.
Oh, that's a brutal older brother statement there, I say. So, all right.
I told him that if he could do it, I knew I could do it as well.
There you go. Brotherly love. So, by the way, for those of you who don't know John well enough yet, John is out of Dallas and joined up there. So when you first joined, John, what was it you were doing with your money and where did you see some place for this in your life? What made you come in?
Well, it was all stock market, except I did buy some foreclosures before I joined Lifestyles in 2011, because there were foreclosures everywhere. They were just carpet and paint. The big mistake I made was I bought them for all cash because I did not want to have any potential problem. They cash flowed like crazy, of course. But I figured if an Aggie could do that for all cash, then must be doing pretty well. All the rest of our resources were in the stock market. Lots and lots of deferred compensation money, lots of 401k money, you know, untaxed till it came out, and a whole bunch of just regular in the stock market stuff. I did not have any untraditional investments except those foreclosures that I bought before I joined Lifestyles.
So the foreclosures weren't leveraged was the only problem you had with those, I take it. So you didn't get as high a return as you'd like to get on real estate transaction. However, they did work. So let's go on. Why did you join here? What were you looking for? I mean, you had something going on. You weren't poor. You were successful. What made you decide to look into something else?
I finally realized that I certainly didn't know everything about real estate investing. Single family was my deal. Had no clue about apartment investing or the possibilities of doing that. I just wanted to learn how to do single family investing better. And what better group to do that than the one that taught my brother how to do it.
Okay. So when you first came in, you took your first classes. What kind of aha moments did you have on the single family stuff?
Single family side, I realized I was doing a lot of things right. I was really good on tenant screening, although I was using my realtor to find residents and help me with screening. That part was fine. The part that was not fine was leverage. I was not using leverage. And as you said, I didn't have I had good cash flow, but did not have any captured equity like I've experienced since then. So that was a big single family aha moment was leverage.
Were you buying brand new homes, or what kind of homes were you buying? Because you said you didn't have any equity capture.
Well, they were foreclosures. You know, you could buy foreclosures in 2011 is when I did it. You know, they were everywhere, dime a dozen. They really didn't necessarily need any work. I did find a realtor that understood rental properties. She'd walk through with me and go, do this, don't do this, don't do that, do this. And that's what I needed because I didn't know anything about it, but she did. So it worked really well cash flow-wise.
Now, you went to the two-day class a long time ago, and you've been to it a couple times, I think, since then. But when you went to it, how did your whole view of this change? Because you came out a different man.
I have to tell this story about how I learned about leverage. At one point in that first two-day, David Fisher says, how many of you guys already have some rental properties? And I was proud. I raised my hand. Then he said, how many of you people own houses with no mortgages? I was proud of that, too. I raised my hand again. He looked right at me and pointed and said, you are an idiot. And he used that as the introduction to talk about the awesome power of leverage. That was a big aha moment for me in single family because he was
right.
Put
you on the spot, huh?
He did, and it was hilarious. Everybody laughed, including me, and I've laughed about it since then as well.
So you moved on, though, from that, and somehow you went from single family to multifamily. What changed your mind on that?
The fact that I'm a lazy person, Dale. I had to do a lot of stuff in single family, managing them myself, and I had no idea that ordinary people like me could invest in multifamily, had no idea about syndications and passive investing in multifamily, had no clue. So the multifamily was a tremendous eye-opening thing for me. It really appealed to me because I was working my tail off. I was a busy practicing engineer. That was a huge source of income for me. And I saw a way to invest a lot more capital without me having to do a lot of work for it. So that was great.
And you started doing multifamily passive side. Let's ask this. When you first started, did you have a plan on how to pick the deals you were getting into?
I did not. The first few months, I didn't do anything but go through classes, went to every multifamily road trip, went to every case study. You know, I'm a typical type B engineer, Dale. I had to get educated before I dip my toe into multifamily. And during that process, I did develop the idea that, look, I don't need current income. I've got plenty of current income. So the value play, you know, not so much cash flow up front, but a great big return on the back end really appealed to me. And that's the way I started off in multifamily, that type of deal. Also during that process, I got to meet a lot of lead investors, the people that actually run these syndications. And I'm a pretty good judge of people. I always have been my whole life. So I started keeping up with ones I really liked, and that served me well also.
So I got to ask a question today, in fact. I got an email, and I think it's appropriate for what you were talking about there. The question was, how do you move from education and information to actual action? I haven't answered this email yet, so I don't have an answer. I'm going to hear what you have to say. Maybe you can write the email for me. How do you go from being that analysis paralysis dude, which us type Bs are, how do you go from that to actually taking action?
It was the people side of it. As I got to know some of these lead investors very well, we talked about mindset. We talked about their goals. We talked about my goals. It was just meeting a lot of them. Meeting some that I didn't feel comfortable with it by investing in, and meeting others that I felt very comfortable investing with and that have ultimately become really good friends of mine.
Go out and find the right people, and it all works out. We're going to take a short break. Be right back with John Pry and the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is John Pry out of Dallas. And John was explaining to us how he got started buying multifamily deals. And we were zooming in here, John, on your approach to which kind of deals you liked. Now, next question is, did that approach change as you worked your way through this thing? Did your skills sharpen? Did your mind sharpen? Did you have a better idea what you wanted? I'm just curious to see if this was, you know, a growable skill set.
Absolutely a growable skill set. I learned something new and different every time I go back to the 2-day and every time I participate in another Lifestyles event. My mindset has changed some. I was able to retire in January of 2017 because I had invested in those higher return capital gain type projects early on. You know, I've been retired for going on 10 years now on passive income from real estate investing. So naturally, my path is now more oriented toward yield type plays. I don't much care about a big capital gain a couple of years from now as I do about current income. That's how I stay retired without a petroleum engineering income, you know?
Yeah. So back when you were doing that in the beginning, you were really hitting them out of the park. You're getting some big gains. One of the things back then that we saw you talk about a lot, because you used to always have quite a few people following you, was that you were reusing your capital. That was one of your concepts. And you talked about your seed corn, but really it was about the refinance and pulling your money out and do it again kind of stuff. Can you take us through that whole cycle, how that worked for you?
Absolutely. It worked great for me because it helped build that real estate component of our net worth. Never eat your seed corn. Always reinvest capital gains and refinance proceeds in new real estate. Live off the current income from the properties, but always reinvest those windfalls, so to speak. And if you do that, inherently, your net worth and your real estate net worth will continue to grow. And as a side benefit, so will the income from real estate. If you're not ever eating your seed corn, it will continue to grow.
Now, I don't know how old this resume is that I have here on you, but it says that you're down to 30 properties. So you've done 60, you're down to 30. So obviously these things turn over. What was your turnover rate and how did you deal with that?
Well, you know, it was easy to deal with because typically they had a nice capital gain with them. So that got reinvested again. Much to my surprise, I've never had enough capital to invest in every lead that I wanted to invest with and every deal I wanted to invest with. So I always felt like I needed more capital, and that provided it, the seed corn from sales and refinances.
One of the interesting questions I get all the time, it's a fear, I guess, is that there's not enough deals out there, John. You just kind of slap that in the face. You know, you're a member, you're around all the members. You hear the brand new ones. They're always, oh my gosh, is there enough deals if I get in here? Is there going to be any deals? What's your thoughts on that?
That's absolutely crazy. But I did ask the very same question of David Fisher right before I joined as a preferred member. There's, Dale, not even you have enough money to invest in all the deals that you may want to, or all the ones that might look good. Nobody's got that much money. They're out there. That's my only frustration that I've had with Lifestyles, is I don't have enough money to invest in everything I want to with everybody I want to.
Yeah, I guess that the growth snowball, and I forget who quoted that the first time, if that was a Robert Kiyosaki deal or if that was a whoever came up with the snowball, the real estate snowball. But that concept, can you go through that a little bit about how that works, that real estate snowball stuff?
You know, the snowball at the top of the hill is small. You form it and make it in your hands and start it rolling down the hill. And as it rolls down that snowy hill, it gathers more and more and more snow as it goes down. And by the time it gets to the bottom, it's a whole lot bigger than it was at the top. Same thing. If you do not eat your seed corn and continue to reinvest it, your net worth will grow inherently. Sometimes it happens faster and sometimes it happens slower, but Dell, our net worth has grown tremendously, even though I've been retired in the last 10 years. It's grown during that time too.
Yeah, it's really hard for people to understand that it never comes as fast as you want when you're beginning, But in the end, it grows faster than you ever could have imagined. It's kind of a weird two-sided story there. For me, I've been growing my real estate portfolio for 36 years now. And it just blows my mind how much is there after 36 years. You know, I never thought I'd get or ever be that wealthy or have that much money or have that much income. But it just showed up over time. But when I wanted it, when I first started, it was like, man, it couldn't come fast enough. You know, it's just, it's never the right pace, you know, type of deal. Which is, there's an old story, there's a movie about the guy who basically grew old backwards. I think really it's been said in the past, youth is wasted on the young. Us old guys, with all the money and the brains, we should be the ones that are in shape and young and excitable and have all the fun doing all the stuff. Instead, we get this old body and go, oh, God, it hurts. You know, but I got money. It just doesn't make any sense, man. You know, when you're young and dumb and you could have run and jumped and swam and, you know, skied and everything, you couldn't afford to go do it. Couldn't afford to take the time off. And now they have all the time and the money in the world, and you're like, oh, it hurts. What a strange thing. How old are you now, John? I've never even asked you.
67.
Oh, man, you're a baby. You're still a youngin. You're still a youngin. Yeah, that's the funny thing is that age is relative, but it is real, right? I saw there's a lady that's on The Five. What is her name? Used to be his press secretary, Dana Perino. Dana Perino was took off the other day off The Five, and they said because her father died. Well, okay, I get that. The guy was like 70-something, whatever it was, 74 or something, I don't know. No big deal, no big story there. Everybody dies. But what got me, John, was he died 30 days after he retired. And there seems to be a lot of that, John, where guys get old, they stop working, and they have no life. And they die. Now, you've been retired for 13 years, and you look sprouter than you were when I met you. I mean, you're, like, excited and fun and happy. What do you do to keep yourself excitable now that you don't have to get up and go to work for 13 years or for 10 years?
There's always projects around the house, and I don't mind doing them now because I have the time to do them at my pace. I don't have to do it right now, hurry, hurry. I have time to take care of the yard. We just harvested a whole bunch of tomatoes yesterday. We just got back from a two-week trip to Galveston Island, where we've got a second home, thanks to Lifestyles.
We'll pick the story back up on the other side. We'll be right back with John Pry and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Thinking about real estate investing? Start with education from Lifestyles Unlimited, the group that's been teaching it for over 30 years. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is John Pry out of Dallas. John's been with us 13 years, done 60 apartment complex deals, if you can imagine that, and has been quite successful. Retired 3 years after he started at Lifestyles from his engineering career and has been living life wonderful ever since. John, were you surprised when you first came here how open people were about their finances?
That was astounding to me. I did not expect that. My brother really did not tell me the extent of that. Everybody is so open, willing to help out, willing to we all help teach and encourage each other. It's the most open and welcoming group I've ever been a part of, Dale.
What has the community meant to you and Robin here for the last 13 years? I mean, do you derive any actual personal enjoyment from just the people around, or are you somebody who just uses it just for the financial part of it?
I keep up with some of my old work friends, not a great number of them, but my routine friends, my week in, week out friends, are Lifestyles members. We have common interests. We do things together. There's another couple that are members in DFW. They have a beach house just a few miles down the road from ours, and so we've enjoyed doing things with them as well. It's the people are the big thing. The investing is easy once you become educated and meet people. The big long-term benefit is people as well.
It's interesting because all the people I used to hang out with when I first started Lifestyles, 35 years ago, they're gone. I said, well, where'd they go? They all went to Florida. I don't know what happened. One guy moved down to the Keys, and then another person moved to the Keys, and another person moved to the Keys, and all of a sudden there's four or five people living on the Keys, and then somebody went to Miami, and then Miami became the place, and five or six people moved out of Miami. It's like, all my friends just got up and left. It's just the strangest thing in the whole world. I couldn't leave because I'm still here, right? But it is amazing how these people all kind of flock together. Birds of a feather flock together. But I guess it's like, where else do you go where people are interested in the same topics and have, I would say, very close, I got to be careful. I would say similar politics. Would that make sense?
It does. Fiscally conservative. That's how we had money in the first place to invest, and that's how we continue to protect it now.
Yeah. So the social part of Lifestyles is something I never guessed. When I started this thing, I just was going to, hey, John, you want me to help you? I'll show you how to buy real estate. That's what I thought about it. It was a transactional relationship. Give me some money. I'll teach you how to do it. Boom, you're successful. God, I love you being successful. And then the ego got into it when people would go, well, thank you for helping me. Well, that felt pretty good even, And then when you guys get in here as members and you start helping people, everybody wanted that feeling. Some people were willing to give back as mentors. Some people would come back as ambassadors. Some people would just be what I call connectors, the people that know everybody. You call them and they can get you 20 people to any place you want to have a party in an hour. They're just that kind of people. Did you find that to be true, that there were these groups and different types and personalities of all working together to keep this thing together?
Absolutely. And that's part of the awesome power of Lifestyles, is that passive investors, we've all become friends, and we all help encourage and teach each other. And we also talk about various deals, various lead investors as well, in a very open, upfront way, because that makes us all better investors.
You're not telling me you guys actually talk about the lead investors, are you?
Well, sure we do, and I'm very confident that lead investors talk about us too, because they want educated people in their deals that understand what's going on. That way, it's better for everyone.
Yeah, it's amazing these people. To come in here, they try to raise capital out in the real world, and you I don't know if you watch any of this stuff on YouTube or wherever you see Facebook people. Yeah, I'm going to raise this capital. I've got 6 months to raise the capital. I've been at it now for 5.5 months, and then our people raise it in 5.5 days. It just blows my mind. I don't even know how people outside of Lifestyles even raise capital, to be honest with you. It just seems like it's such a burden. How do you go find people out of nowhere, pull people out of ether, and get them to do something? And then the other thing is, all of our members are educated, John. So we all think alike. We know how to evaluate. We use the same criteria to evaluate things. So when someone presents, they're presenting criteria that we already understand how to evaluate. I mean, to me, that seems strange in the outside world. Have you ever run into any deals from the outside world and looked at them?
Somehow I've gotten on some outside lists. I have no idea how. There certainly hasn't been my solicitation. And the contrast between the openness and fairness of those outside deals as compared with what is readily available in Lifestyles is astounding. The lead investors' overrides are very different. The deal structures are very different. And the quality of those deals economically is very different as well. Had I invested in a bunch of those outside deals, I'd probably still be working, Dale.
Yeah. Speaking of working, the question I always love to ask people is, how did the people that you knew at work react to you saying, I'm retiring? Retirement is a word that just doesn't seem to fit this society anymore, you know? What do you mean you're retiring? You know, what do you mean you're going to another job? You're going to work part-time? Are you going to do some consulting? You know, there's always like, I'm going to go do something. I'm going to stand at Walmart and say hello to people or something. I mean, nobody just retires, but that's what we do. I mean, what did people say to you when you told them you were going to do that?
You know, I was always pretty open about the fact that I was doing some real estate investing at work. And in fact, some of my old work friends have joined Lifestyles as well. So there wasn't a big degree of surprise. What are you going to do? A lot of engineers go into consulting, as you said, but nobody was happier than I was the day after I retired, my retirement, when I did not have to have an alarm clock to wake me up in the morning.
Oh, my God, I can so empathize with you, because I now have an alarm clock. I have two dogs. I bought two huskies, and I do not know how dogs can do this, but they have an alarm clock in their head, and at exactly 7:30, these dogs start scratching on their cages so loud that it wakes me up, and they know it does. So now I'm back. I belong to the workforce again. I have to get up and walk and feed these damn dogs every day. But before that, I understand. That did not have to, you could sleep in, you could do whatever you wanted to do. Man, what an incredible difference that is. One of the ones I found to be interesting, tell me if you ever felt this. Have you ever noticed how much easier it is once you're retired to do things because you don't have to go during rush hour? You don't have to get up and go before work or after work where everybody's out there and busy and the highways are busy and the places you're going are busy. You get up at like 10 and go somewhere there's nobody out there, right? You don't stop at lunch. You know, you go on at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There's nobody out there. The roads are empty. You go, man. You know, I use half the effort and many times half the money to do something because you're not competing with what's going on out there in the world. Have you ever felt that?
Isn't that awesome? Those are the two big things. No alarm clock and no rush hour traffic.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. But I love it. I love it. And I wouldn't want to go back. Like I said, that's the one thing is I wish I was young. But I was kind of lucky because I retired at 35 years of age, 34 or something like that.
I still feel like I'm lucky, though, Dale. My dad is 96 years old. And he's still going. I just took a few days here a week or so ago and helped he and his young bride of 90 change from independent living to assisted living.
His young bride of 90, I love that.
Yeah.
97, and you retired at 57, so that's 40 years of freedom you bought back for yourself, huh?
Exactly.
That's incredible.
There's a couple of big reasons why Lifestyles has to go in forever. One of them is I've got another 20 or 30 years at least of doing this. And the other one is two of our kids are preferred investor group members as well. They'll take care of me when I get older, and they're going to need Lifestyles to be around in 50 or 60 years as well.
Wow. You blow my mind. His 90-year-old younger bride. Whew, that would knock me out of my chair right there. That's just, I'm thinking about it going, can I last to 90? 97? And still wanting to get married. That's what gets me.
There you go.
Wow. All right, well, let's take a break. We'll be right back with John Pry and the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is John Pry out of Dallas. And John's been sharing his story with us, joined up in 2014, retired by 2017, has 10 good years of retirement under the belt and just clicking along here. Dad made it all the way to 97 and remarried to a 90-year-old youngie sweetie. Man, that's, robbing the cradle right there. But what a great life, John. Looking back now, you made it the good old-fashioned way. You went to school. You got an education. You got a degree. You became an engineer. You worked hard. You saved your money. And then you invested wisely. Looking back, what would you say to young guys right now? They're college bound. They're looking ahead to their future. Is there anything that you would have done differently now that you have hindsight, which is 2020?
Absolutely. You know, like many or probably most young engineers, I was entirely focused on my career early on. My family had to put up with me doing a lot of traveling, a lot of time at work. Yes, it provided a good living, but it also cut into living our lives as well. I've told my son and our daughter, who are both members of Lifestyles, there's more to life than work. Focus on being a well-rounded person, and life just finds a way of working out. A great way of doing that is real estate investing as a member of Lifestyles, because Lifestyles comes not just with education, deal flow, it comes with a lot of friends as well, and friends are the secret to being happy in life.
You know, John, I've used the song Cats in the Cradle many times, the lyrics, to bring up that point that, you know, there you were a working man, had no time to play with the kid and the ball, and, you know, the kids always just wanted to have time with dad, and then one day he's grown up and dad's gone. Now dad's retired. Dad wants to go back and spend time with the kid. And the kid goes, I'm sorry, dad, I'm too busy because I'm just like you. You know, now, dad, I'm just like you. That does get passed down from generation to generation, that work ethic / lack of enjoying life ethic. And I don't know if it's not enjoying life, but maybe a better way to put it. It's that you're not rounded. You're not getting everything out of life that you could get out of life. I think you pointed that out. That's a good point, John. That's a good one. What else would you say to people that are younger, or do you say to people that are younger when they ask you about what you would do differently?
You know, as Warren Buffett has said, and as you have said many, many times, if you do not find a way to make money while you sleep, you will work until you die. Had I been able to retire 30 years ago, I would have done it and been just happy, happy, happy. Don't get too focused on all of that, because life needs to go on, and money is a big important part of it, but it's not the be-all, end-all.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I think you hit on another point there that I want to parse out a little bit, and that was, when I finally figured out you could earn income without working for it, was like a turning point in my life. In other words, everybody I know, everybody that I speak to, everybody I try to communicate to come do some of this stuff, they're hooked on the belief that if I don't go do something, money will not be made. Even when they're in real estate, they want to do something. They want to go over to it. You know what I mean? They want to, hey, what if the tenant should, how many times should I go look, see what the tenant is doing? Go, don't go see the tenant. Leave him alone, right? What about, you know, if I'm a passive investor, how many times should I go out and look at the apartment? Don't ever go see the apartment. I mean, people think they have to do something or money doesn't come in. When did you finally overcome that belief?
It was a few years into my lifestyle journey. You know, my wife says I make a great lazy retired person, and that's absolutely true. But a few years into my lifestyle experience, I realized that, yeah, it's cool to go see properties, and it's fun to do it with fellow investors, but it's absolutely not necessary. Had you told me that I would invest large sums of money with people that I had not known for many years in deals that I really hadn't seen, I would have said you're crazy. But yet, that's
the rule
now. In
places I've never been, John. I own grocery stores all over the country. I've never been to a single one of them. I've never been to a single one of them that I own all over the country. Never met the people that manage them, that do anything with them. It just get a check in the mail. I want that darn check in the mail, because it's so much easier for them just to wire the money, not wire, whatever it is, where you automatically draft the money each month. And they keep trying to bug me. Why don't you just take the draft, man? Let me put it in your bank. And I go, I like the checks in the mailbox. I think I'm going to change. I think right now I'm now that I'm 70, it's time to change. I'm going to go ahead and start accepting, you know, the EFTs or whatever they're called, the drafts, instead of going to the mail. But if I take away my mailbox, my first of the month, the first 3 days of the month, looking for all the checks in there, which is like getting up and going to work. Are the checks in yet? Are the checks in yet? It's a crazy thing.
There is one drawback to the ACH deposits with as many deals as I'm in. Sometimes I have to go look up, where did that one come from? I'm not sure, you know?
I have that happen, too. I've got deals, passive deals that I'm in, ACH coming in. I go, who the heck sent me that money? You really do. It gets confusing because it's not as clear as you think it would be. You know, you think that the ACH would say it came from this particular – sometimes it's just a bunch of numbers and you can't really tell. And especially if it's not like the same amount every month to where, you know, it's a quarterly payment. You don't know how much we get this quarter to the next quarter. Then they make no sense at all, and chasing them down becomes like a job, yeah? So, yeah, that's the problem with that. But whatever, it's easier on the leads that way for sure, no doubt. All right, well, John – what is the near future have for you? What are you looking at? What's your goals in the next couple of years?
Just continue doing what I'm doing now. We have the time that we need. We have the friends that we want, and we have the income that we want. The big thing we've got coming up is we're going to have our first grandchild in August still. And, of course, my wife is already gearing up for that. There's a baby shower tomorrow. So we're really excited about that.
Does the grandchild live close to you? Well, they're kicking us out the back end. I'll talk to you about it in person. For the rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just some money. It's a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow. John, thanks for coming on.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.